the book of Jude. Chapter 1, as before, it only has one chapter. We're going to begin tonight in verse 8. And we're going to talk about dreamers. And we're not talking about immigration either. Okay, we're talking about Bible dreamers, or a generation of immigrants that we know today in the United States as dreamers. That's not who we're talking about. We're talking about false teachers, those that would be a negative influence in God's house, in God's people. Let's stand as we read. Verse 8 says, "Likewise also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. Yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, 'The Lord rebuke you.' But these speak evil of whatever they do not know. Whatever they do know naturally, like brute beasts, in these things they corrupt themselves. Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit, and perished in the rebellion of Korah." Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we do want to praise you. We thank you for the opportunity to sing the praise to your name, to pray to give you thanksgiving, just to be here in this service tonight to worship you in spirit and in truth. Now, Lord, I pray that you'll open our hearts to your word, that you'll speak to us through your word, and that, Lord, you'll give us a heart to respond appropriately to your word. For Lord, we love you. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, the dreamers that we're talking about is, of course, found in verse 4. They're men who had crept into the church unaware and were causing problems. The reason they're causing problems is because they were bringing with them false doctrine. And if it happened in the days of Jude, of course, it's still happening today. And we still have to be on guard, and we have to be ready to take a stand, because the natural reaction, the first reaction for most people is to do nothing. I don't want to make any waves type mentality. So they let it go. They let it go till the trouble grows and grows, until the church is wounded, even to the point that it's difficult to recover. So this is the challenge. I don't preach this because we've got a problem with someone or anything like that. Not at all. Okay? But I preach this so that we'll be on guard, so that we'll be ready with the truth, that should something arise, and we need to take that stand, because, you know, we must treasure what God has given us at Victory. A church family is nothing to be taken for granted. And what God has done at Victory, what God is doing at Victory, is very special. But He has entrusted Victory to us. And we need to make sure that we stand upon the truth during our watch. And point number one, Jude says, look out or watch out for the dreamers. Now the dreamers, the definition basically means someone who lives in a dream world. Have you ever known somebody who was in their own little world? I can do that on occasion, be in my own little world. Well, that's kind of the mentality here, except it's that they live in a world that is not reality, but rather is delusion. And they can be very sincere. They really can believe the things they say and put forth as the truth. But the fact is, they live in a fantasy world. That's not true. It's with these people that there is no right, there is no wrong. They live in a fantasy world where the Bible is no longer applicable, because our culture has advanced beyond the limitations that the Bible would set forth. And they live in the fantasy that God accepts all men. It does not matter what you do and what you want to do. God just accepts you just the way you are. And that's not true. That's a lie. And I've often wondered, you know, I've thought on more than once, can't you see? Don't you understand? Because it seems to be pretty plain to me. God says what He meant, and He meant what He said. If He says don't do it, we shouldn't do it. Amen? If He says do it, that's what we should do. Amen? It's not that hard. I'm kind of a black and white guy anyway. You know, I just if it says it, do it. If it says don't do it, don't do it. But in the culture that we've been given today, and in the mind of these people, they believe they're right. And I mentioned this some weeks ago, but I think what is plaguing our society is found in Romans chapter 1, where men have been given over to a reprobate mind so that they can no longer think right. They can no longer see the truth as the truth. Now you may back up and say, Brother Doug, what makes you think you're right and everybody else is wrong? I'm not right. God's right. Okay? And so I don't have to be right. And I don't parade in front of people saying, my words are absolute truth. No, I try to present the Word of God as absolute truth. And that's what we as New Testament Christians have to stand on. And even a step farther than that, though, I will tell you, you're very special. And you know why you're special? If you're a child of God, say amen. You know what happened to you when you were saved? When you were saved, you were indwelled with the Holy Spirit. Okay? That means the Spirit come to live inside of you. And that opened your mind and your heart to the truth. As a matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians 2:16, the Apostle Paul says, we have the mind of Christ. Can you believe that? We have the mind of Christ. That word mind there in 1 Corinthians 2:16, it means understanding and discernment. That as we look at this, the Word of God, we know this is the precious truth of God. That as we live and from day to day, you know, but before we commit that sin, there is a guidance of the Spirit that says, no, don't do that. Don't do that. And we have the promise of the Holy Spirit that He will guide us to all truth. So once again, you know, it's not a matter of we're right and they're wrong. That's not what it's about. It's a matter of God is right absolutely all the time in everything. Second thing, their rebellion has no boundaries. Again, in verse 8, it says they defile the flesh and reject authority. They defile the flesh and reject authority. The first thing, have you noticed the first thing that has to happen before you can give yourself over to a sin? You have to reject the authority of God. Meaning, you have to say, God, you do not have the right to tell me what I can do, the way I can live, And to affect the decisions that I make in this life. Once you reject God's authority, then sin is no problem. I fear that's what's happening in many churches in the lives of these dreamers today. You know, they have made the decision that God does not have the right to tell them what to do anymore. Or if He ever did, for that matter. But you know what? God created us. Everything that we see from day to day is a creation of God, ourselves included. And doesn't the Creator have the right to do as He wills with His creation? He does have the authority to tell us, to guide us. Ah, but the dreamers, they refuse God's standard and establish their own standard. They live to satisfy. In verse 10, it says, whatever they know natural, like brute beast, in these things they corrupt themselves. What is he saying? He's saying they live like animals. You know, there's a standard of morality with God. Amen? A standard of morality. And that standard says marriage is between a man and a woman. That standard of morality says sex is reserved for the marriage bed. That standard of morality says homosexual is wrong. That standard of morality says a man should be a man and a woman should be a woman. So the transgender idea is out the window. This is God's standards, not ours. But it is our responsibility to proclaim those standards and live according to those standards. I've noticed that one thing that will destroy a church quicker than anything is a sexual scandal. Why is that? Because the people involved in such a scandal have completely disregarded the boundaries that God has set forth. Listen, it's important that I as a pastor am pure. But I want to tell you, it's not just me as the pastor that needs to be pure. It's the members of Victory Missionary Baptist Church that need to be pure. By pure, I don't mean we'll never make a mistake. I don't mean that we're perfect. I mean that our conduct is a conduct based upon God's standard of morality. Because the world is watching. And you know, and I mentioned a few weeks ago, Victory does have a reputation. And that reputation is that we hold the standard of God in high regard. We're not perfect. Nor will we ever be. Well, when I get to heaven. Okay. But while I walk on this earth, I'll still stumble from here and there. But we do believe in God's standard. And we hold that standard to be dear. The dreamer does not hold that standard. Third, their rebellion has no respect. They speak, it says that they speak evil of dignitaries. That phrase, to speak evil, it means to blaspheme. And you know, blaspheme, we think of taking God's name in vain, and it is taking God's name in vain. But that's not all that it is. Blasphemy involves much more than that. It begins in the heart, and it includes when we take the Word of God lightly and even jest about it. You know what? I've heard people make jokes about the judgment of God as though, oh, God's going to get me. I'm not going to say that because I know my next breath comes from God. I know that I'm here by the grace of God. And if I see tomorrow, I'll see tomorrow by the mercy and the grace of God. Psalm 73:9 says, they set their mouth against the heavens and their tongue walks through the earth. And verse 11 it says, and they say, how does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? They have no respect. It amazes me today how we have, and I've mentioned this before, churches seem to have lost that respect that we have for God. I want to tell you, when we meet like this, we meet together. The Bible says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm in their midst. This is an area we should show the utmost respect. We have gathered together to worship God. We're not a coffee shop. We're not a hangout place. We're here to honor and to glorify God. And you know what? That's the example I want to set. I want others to see me lifting my voice in praise. I want others to see me respecting the God that is my Creator, the Savior who bore my sins upon the cross of Calvary. I want others to see that respect. These dreamers that Jude's talking about, there's a lack of respect among them. I like verse 10. And verse 10 will make you back up and say, huh? But verse 10, I'm sorry, verse 9. Verse 9 is the one. The end of verse 8 says, they speak evil of dignitaries, yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke you. Now the question comes to mind. When did this happen? I have no idea is my answer, and I'm sticking to it. Because we're not given any more than that. But apparently there was a battle after Moses had died and God buried him. And the Bible says that they knew, or no man knew where Moses was. But apparently Satan knew. And there was a battle. But the interesting part is this. It was the way that Michael responded to Satan in this battle. He said, the Lord rebuked you. Michael did not rebuke him himself. He left it up to the Lord. Isn't that interesting? And it reminds me that the things that we say should also contain a great deal of respect. Things that we say to one another. Even how we confront Satan himself. And listen, I do not suggest that you go toe-to-toe with Satan ever. He's stronger and he's smarter than you are. He's the father of a liar. He's the father of a lie. And he knows how to get you. But we should be careful how we talk about God's people. Shouldn't we? Have you ever been caught speaking negatively about other people in the church? Well, that's not a good thing. And the reason is we're supposed to build one another up. And whoever you spoke negatively to about that person is going to remember what you said. And they're going to take it with them. You see, And among God's people, there should always be a respect. These dreamers that it's talking about, they don't have that respect. They don't have it toward God. They don't have it toward people. They don't have it toward God's church. Be on guard. Three things where we can immediately identify these that would cause a problem in the Lord's work. Verse 11. Says, woe to them, for they've gone the way of Cain. They've run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit and perished in the rebellion of Korah. Three signs of the dreamer. They've gone the way of Cain. They're filled with bitterness, hatred, and strife. You ever known people who are filled with bitterness, hatred, and strife in the church? Stay away from those people. Okay? Because it'll rub off on you. Don't let them fill you with their bitterness and their strife. Number two, the greedy. Have you ever known somebody who would change their position because of money? I've known preachers who would. I've known church members who would. It's always all about the dollar. You know, even church service itself based upon the dollar. And no, that's not who we are. Beware of those that are greedy. Then finally, the rebellion of Korah. You know the story of Korah, right? In the Old Testament, he was the one that led a rebellion against Moses. That rebellion failed. A lot of people died because of that rebellion. What's the lesson to learn? Be careful when you go against God's man. Okay? And I'm not, again, nobody's going against me, okay? But I have counseled people before Don't stand up and cause the pastor a problem. Why? Because he's God's man. Okay? We have several of God's men in this church. We have myself as the pastor. We have Brother Ken, who's the seniors pastor. We have Brother Michael, who's the youth pastor. Brother Kelly, who's the college pastor. Brother Dale, who's the music pastor. You know what? I try to leave those guys alone. I try to encourage them, but I try to leave them alone. Because, see, God has put them in their position. I don't tell Brother Dale what to sing. Sometimes I want to. No, Brother Dale always does a great job. Just kidding. He did sing my song tonight. At my request. And thank you for that, brother. I enjoyed it. But you know, God didn't put me in Brother Dale's position. He put me here as a pastor. Okay? So I try not to mess with Brother Dale. I try not to mess with Brother Michael and the youth. Why? Because God put him in that position. Kelly, same thing. Ken, same thing. You see, I always want to be careful and respect the men that God has placed in the different positions, whether in this church or another church. I owe that not only to those men, but most of all, I owe it to God. See, when we lose that respect for one another, oh, we get in trouble fast. The dreamers, watch out for them. They'll tear it down. Let's get to the good news. The good news is this, okay? This is what you guard against, okay? That's what we talked about tonight. The good news is, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. We've known that, we've heard that, you know, and sometimes maybe we even take it for granted. But what a beautiful verse of Scripture, that God loved us so much that He's willing to allow His Son to be the sacrifice for our sin. Beloved, do you know how loved you are? If you're here and you're a child of God, you've been bought, paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. And glory, hallelujah, because of that we know where we're going. Not only that, but if you've never been saved, God has brought you here tonight to lay the opportunity of salvation before you. Here's your choice, okay? If you're not saved, here's your choice. Tonight, before you walk out of here, you've got to decide, will I take the glory of heaven that Jesus bought and paid for with His life? Streets of gold, where there'll be no more tears, no more sorrow, no more dying, you know, no more pain. Will I take that, or will I choose hell where the worm never dies and the fire's never quenched? I don't know about you, but that's not a choice. Okay? That's not a choice. Jesus died so you can have life. But only you can choose life. Choose you this day who you're going to serve. I suggest it be Jesus. Please. Let it be Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the day. We thank You for Your Word and for the opportunity to look into Your Word, exploring Your Word. And Lord, we thank You for Jesus Christ, our Savior. Lord, it is good to be Your child. And I'm thankful that You gave Your life so that I might have eternal life. And now that we come to this invitation, Lord, I pray that if there is someone here, and You know the hearts of everyone, if there is someone here that is lost, who does not know You as their personal Savior, I pray that right here, right now, today, they will choose heaven. That they will choose You. Knowing that You gave Your life so that they could live for eternity. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.